Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
The small community of Chrísla, and when I say small, like we're talking 400 people. They've made international news after an explosion at an Apple Green station claimed the lives of 10 locals who were really just going about their everyday business. Thousands turned out to vigils across the county of Donegal yesterday. The pictures that I've seen are quite incredible. People really just, I guess, showing love and support to everybody who's been impacted. And on the line now, I have a local resident, Marie Duffy. Good morning, Marie.
Hi, how are you?
Marie, listen, it's been an unimaginable few days, hasn't it?
Yeah, I suppose, as you said, we are a very, very small town. Nothing could ever have prepared us for a tragedy like this. We have lost 10 members of our community. We are all very much connected. We're a very small town, tight-knit. Everybody's either related to someone or, you know, married into families or connected. These are our friends, our neighbours, our colleagues, and our town has been changed forever.
And if you don't mind, can you describe the events of Friday for me?
Yeah, so I wasn't actually in the town at the time myself. Like many, many others from rural Donegal, I work away during the week. And I was actually in Cavan, just leaving work to come home for the weekend. And I got a phone call just to say that there had been an incident in the town. And there was very, very little information at that time. But we all know that that shop and petrol station is the hub of the community. So we were all very aware that a lot of people would have been impacted by this.
Had you, when was it that the scale of what had happened hit you?
I suppose it happened around 20 past three, and I know locals rushed from all over the town, nearby areas, to literally help at the scene and try to help people out of the rubble, literally. Photos started appearing and, you know, people were ringing each other and checking to see if family members were okay, if everyone was accounted for. And I suppose I was driving the 3.5 hours up from Cavan, and every so often I just pull over at the side of the road just to check in with family back home. And it became very apparent very quickly that this was on a scale that we could never have imagined.
I mean, even as you mentioned there, that this was the hub of the community, what is such a small community. And I was reading a couple of the accounts from people this morning in the papers, and even the description of people, locals who had rushed to help, saying they knew who they were looking for just based off of the cars that were parked outside the petrol station. They knew who owned the cars.
Yeah, unfortunately, very quickly, photos were being shared on social media and loved ones were literally identifying family members or neighbours' cars just by the photos. And as you can imagine, that's extremely difficult. A lot of people, as we're such a small town, work away from the town during the week, have emigrated, are all over the world. And it's been very, very difficult for them following this in the media and not being close to loved ones during something like this.
But I think you've mentioned there now about, you know, how people, because the town is so small, that people might either work away during the week in a different county or might have emigrated. Locals are offering up accommodation, though, aren't they, to try and help people get home?
Yeah, so I actually run the local Facebook page for our community project here. And we would, I suppose, be a point of contact for lots of the diaspora and people away from home. And we've just been overwhelmed by the support that locals have offered neighbouring villages. In a few hours, I was offered at least between 50 and 20 houses that were being offered for free for family members coming home for funerals. and Airbnbs and the likes, and people have been offering these for weeks at a time. It's just remarkable. We have been receiving donations from all over the world. We have been receiving supplies from shops, restaurants in neighbouring towns, counties. People are just overwhelmed by the support we are getting here in Krisla. We are not used to such spotlight. Most people probably have never, ever heard of Krisla before. And we are very, very grateful for the love and support that people are showing us at the moment.
But isn't it incredible how the community has banded together and shown that kind of sense of spirit in the area to be everybody's backbone and to be there to support each other? Because really, I think there is no rule book on how to deal with something like this.
No.
But when you have this kind of a close-knit community,
yeah,
it's what you need, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's no surprise. We are very, very used to people working together here in the community. We have very little services. We're not used to politicians calling to our town. We're not used to the media camping out. We are used to community groups and people working together, like many, many rural towns around the country. And I suppose people are just overwhelmed and I suppose shell-shocked. It's not going to be for the next few days as funerals start taking place and people start to realise the impact of this and start to grieve, because at the minute people aren't grieving, people are just shell-shocked.
I think it's a really important point though as well, that when those politicians and the media who are camped out leave the community, that the community still know we're all still there to support them, because that is really when people need that help and that extra hand to really be there for them.
Yeah, exactly. So I suppose if anything, I want to stress that we are all very, very grateful for the support that we have been offered. But as the politicians disappear, as the media go home, our town will still be grieving for many, many years to come. And we have been promised, the Taoiseach was in town and promised supports and everything will be done for the town. And I really, really hope that's true, because it's not just people who have lost loved ones. It's young people, it's colleagues, it's surrounding towns. It's not just counselling service and mental health support that people need. It's the youth workers, it's the community groups, it's the after school groups. We need support as much as we can, and I just hope that we get that.
I think you will. I think the general feeling that I get is that the rest of the country is in utter shock at what has happened to your community, and I think people want nothing but to help. Can you just describe your area for me, Marie, before this happened?
Do you mean the town itself?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're a very small town. We're on the main road coming from Letterkenny towards Dunfanaghy. Dunfanaghy would be a very popular seaside town with many holiday homes, and most people who are from Krisla would actually mention Dunfanaghy as being the nearest town to them, because most people don't know Krisla. We had one shop, one petrol station, one post office, all in the one place where the explosion happened. There's very little else in the town, and there's a few pubs, there's a few coffee shops, and I suppose people are it was a very, very popular place. Locals would have called into the shop multiple times a day. People would have used the ATM. Many people on the way to Letterkenny or to the west of Donegal would have stopped to use the petrol station. I know many people have contacted me to say that they've been in the shop or they've called in for petrol. And I suppose I can't stress how much this could have been anybody, and this could have happened to any small town. And I think that's why it has resonated so much with people, because it happened around 20 past three. Many school children were in the shop getting treats after school on a Friday. There were people picking up bits, last minute bits for dinner. people just literally pulling in to use the ATM, and we're just caught up in this.
I think, see, what you've just described, I think, is a town that pretty much everybody is driven to at some point in their lives, going somewhere. We've all driven through a town like this where there is one central hub that has the post office where you get your bits and bobs and everything there. So I think that's why this resonates so much with everyone, because we can all visualise Krishla even if we haven't been there.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like any other town. It's growing up in Krishla, we would always joke that nothing ever happens in Krishla. It's very much that type of place. It's very much the type of place that people drive through or stop. And unfortunately, the name Krishla now is on everyone's lips, and it's just unfortunate that this is the reason why people are talking about it.
Well, Marie, before I let you go, do you want to just tell us your Facebook page in case anybody has an offer of accommodation or food to donate or support that they can provide?
Yeah, of course. Our Facebook page is called The Krishla View. And if anybody has any offers, they can send me a private message. I'm also on Twitter, on Donegal Abu, and I know loads of people have been contacting me there. I know post office around the country are accepting donations for a fund for Krishla, and I know that many people feel helpless, and we don't expect people to donate, but we are very grateful if that's what they want to do. And just to reiterate how grateful we are for the support from everybody from all over the world.
Well, Marie, our absolute deepest sympathies to you and everyone in Krishla. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us this morning.
Thank you. Jen Zaffirelli
on 2FM. As we've been talking about the community banding together in Krishla this morning, it's also well worth noting that a lot of businesses decided to stay open all through the weekend in Krishla and the surrounding areas, just really to be there if people needed them. And the Krishla Health Centre was one of those places. And Dr. Paul Stewart joins me now this morning. Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good morning, Lottie.
How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm just in work mode. So, you know, just trying to get through the day and try and support all the people that need help and organise things and support for them. So that's really what I'm at today.
Is that how you deal with something like this? You just go to work mode?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's sort of, you know, your sort of kicks in, and because when you're busy, of course, it you know, you don't have time to think about things, so that kind of helps, and it helps you to be helping others, if you know what I mean, and talking about it and talking through it and so on is all part of the healing process. So everybody needs to just talk, and so we like to get people talking.
I think that's a really,
you know,
really important message to get out, is how important it is to talk, and to, no matter how silly you think what you're feeling might be, it doesn't matter, to just get it off your chest and say whatever is on your mind or however you are feeling. Have people been coming to you over the weekend just to have an ear, just to have somebody to listen to them?
That's exactly right, Lottie. I mean, we've been open over the weekend, and people have been dropping in and just to talk about their experiences, and you know, people who actually were able to walk out, or who miraculously survived having fallen down two floors. I don't know whether you've seen the photographs, but the whole central section of the shop collapsed. Three floors collapsed down onto the poor people in the shop, you know. And some people in the flats above actually were able to walk out. So that was great. But, and of course, some of the people who are in hospital have thankfully been discharged now. So they came in and we looked after them. And then, of course, we've been visiting the various houses of the bereaved. And that's not easy, as you can imagine, and we're just talking and, you know, listening and So that's what you call, you can do at this stage.
And as you mentioned there, visiting the houses of the bereaved, I mean, we heard this morning that the remains of Jessica Gallagher arrived back in the village, which is not easy.
Yes, she's the first to come back to us. And we will rally around. And, you know, we've strengthened depth here. This is a special community, and they will look after their loved ones and their friends and their neighbours. And we've a rough week ahead of us, but we're going to just be there, you know.
When you say you've a rough week ahead of you, I mean, I can't imagine how you prepare for something like this. What would your advice be for people as they embark on the days ahead?
Well, look, I mean, we'll have wakes. You know, West Donegal is a great place for wakes. So then, and people will be waked for 3 days, and you know, then we'll have the funerals later on in the week and so on. And there's been a number of religious services and vigils and so on, both here in Creechlin and throughout the county. So look, it's just about getting together and just feeling part of it, and as I say, just talking.
And Dr. Paul, how did you hear about what had happened? When was the incident brought to your attention?
Well, I was actually doing the surgery on Friday afternoon in Dunbannahy, which people probably have heard of. That's the next town over. And I wasn't actually rung by the emergency services. I just started hearing that there'd been an incident or an accident in Creechlin. So I finished off the surgery and came over. So I arrived about an hour after the event. Funny enough, I didn't even hear the explosion. Several people, you know, within miles of Creechlin heard the explosion. It must have been huge. And I arrived, and at that stage there were 3 fatalities, and a number of my colleagues were there, and all the emergency services were there. So we had, we were just waiting around to see who they could get out, and they got the emergency services got out 1 or 2 people who were still able to talk. The ambulance has taken off most of the immediate wounded, and then we had this horrible wait, Lottie, you know, all night waiting. We knew that there were 5 or 6 people who hadn't come home, and we were left wondering, you know, praying that they weren't in there, but you know, pretty sure that they were. And so it wasn't until, you know, the early hours of the morning that the rescue crews were able to get out some others. But you know, there were families at home waiting to hear news all night. And That was the hard bit, really, at that stage.
It's just unimaginable. And I believe there were locals who actually, you know, seconds after the explosion happened, even though they might have been in their shorts and flip-flops, they were right over trying as best they could to help.
Yes, the immediate response was fantastic. Unbelievable, really. Everybody ran there and were pulling back the rubble, and you know, it was about 10 minutes before the emergency services arrived, naturally. But you know, there were people just tearing corrugated iron off with their hands and so on, in a very dangerous situation, Lottie. I mean, excuse me, there was bits of debris hanging from the tops of the buildings and falling down around them, you know. So they went in, and some of the staff went back in and rescued people as well immediately after the blast, at great personal risk. And sure, people did what they could, you know. I'm pulled out a number of people, you know, alive, and were taken away in the ambulances.
You did?
No, I didn't. I arrived an hour later. I was the first responders, if you like. Who ran immediately to the scene were able to, you know, there were people lying covered in rubble, and they were able to pull them free even before the services arrived, you know. So they did a wonderful job.
It's a huge sign of the strength in the community of Creechlin, and you know, as we've seen over the past 72 hours or so, how they have banded together to because everybody obviously knew everybody because it's such a small community, and how they've all come together to help. And I can only imagine how much it means to a lot of people that you have made the decision to stay open, because this is really when somebody like yourself, the local GP, is needed.
Well, look, I mean that's the very least least I could have done. But I mean, this is a special community, and this community will get through this, will support the people who've lost loved ones. It's going to take us years, I think. It's going to take me years to try and put some of this back together again. But the community have all rallied round, and they will be there for the long haul.
But it is possible, and although it might not seem like it to a lot of people at the moment, that, as you said, they can get through it, and they do have the whole country thinking of them and behind them at the moment. So, Dr. Paul, our deepest sympathies to you and the community. Thank you for coming on and talking to us.
Thank you, Lottie. Jen Zaffirelli
on 2FM. I think it'd be fair to say that by this stage, most of us have seen the photographs of the 10 people who have passed away following the explosion at Chrysler on Friday. There's been smiling faces of fathers, brothers, sisters, mothers, children. One of the young people who passed away was 14-year-old Leona Harper. Leona was a talented rugby player, and on the line now I have Jeremy Worth from Letterkenny Rugby Club. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning.
Jeremy, how are all of you in Letterkenny Rugby Club doing this morning?
Doing the best we can, I think, is only the way you could describe it. We've had a weekend that you'd never want to repeat. I would say we're doing the best we can. We pulled together, and we had the club open last night. We did our best to look after Leona's teammates, and her family turned up. Hugh, Donna, Jamie, and Anthony, her brothers. So, what can I say? It was a very difficult thing to do, but I think it was appropriate at the time, and it was very meaningful anyway.
Jeremy, can you describe Leona to us? Tell us a bit about her.
Yes, Leona was a mini rugby player with us. She comes from a rugby family. Her dad Hugh played for the club and also coached. Her brother Anthony, he was in one of the teams that I coached a few years ago and played with my son. And Leona herself played mini rugby with boys from an early age, and then joined the under 14 dedicated girls team. And just to quote her coach Colin, who can't be with us because he's in the States, if you don't mind,
yes,
he gave the statement. So Leona was an absolute pleasure to coach, with her positive attitude and a great sense of humour. On the pitch, she was fiercely competitive, and although still learning the game, it was clear she was developing into a fantastic young player. Leona was also a simply lovely young person, and it was a pleasure to be in her company, travelling to games. Taken too soon, Leona will be sadly missed by her teammates, her coaches, and the rugby community in Letterkenny. I think that gives you a flavour of what kind of girl she was. There's no question she had a bright future, and it wasn't just about rugby either. She also had an interest in boxing. So you can see she's obviously prepared to push the boundaries, and I don't think there's any doubt this was a young girl who was going to make her way in life.
You mentioned her teammates there, who I know you also said you had up to the club last night.
Yeah.
How are they as a group holding it together?
Yeah. Obviously, they were very upset, but young people are very resilient as well. And it was sort of a very emotional thing. But there's a lot of there's a book of condolences, and everybody wasn't just writing names and small comments. It was people taking their time, and What can you say? It was a very deep moment. So I think their response to it was very positive. But obviously, it's only the start of this process. You know, this is going to take a little while. In fairness, you could say it's going to be with them for life, really.
I think, though, Jeremy, when you things like that, that seem so small, something like a book of condolences that you're saying, they didn't just sign their name, they're writing probably memories into the book. Something like that for Leona's family is an absolute gift, I think, for them to have, to see what she meant to her teammates and to be able to have those memories to read over the coming days when they'll need them.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I absolutely hope it's right. That they'll definitely take support from that. I think also another thing that's touched the family and touched ourselves as a club is the well wishes that have come in from other rugby clubs. Obviously, initially from clubs in Donegal, which was lovely to see, and people doing minutes silence before matches. But then even wider into the whole Ulster sort of rugby family, there was a lot of gestures made, and then, of course, it didn't just stop there. It went across the whole of Ireland and then through the rest of the rugby community across Britain, and then there's even messages coming from France and Canada and all sorts of places. So this is, you know, I suppose part of the joy of sporting organisations. It's not unique to rugby, but, you know, people do pull together. And we've definitely received a lot of support from the rugby family.
Well, Jeremy, I hope you know not just the rugby family, but everybody has you in their thoughts, and the whole Letterkenny rugby team. And we just...
There is one other thing I suppose I'd like to say.
Yeah, of course.
There are other rugby people that I've played with who lost a cousin as well. And then there's, quite a few of our membership are in the emergency services, and we're actually on call in Creasler. So, and then, of course, there's all the heartbreak in Creasler itself from all the local families, which also have connections to Letterkenny and all over, because it's such a small community, and it's that there's, it's amazing how it's not just one person for us. That there's lots of connections, and It's a huge tragedy across the board.
I think that seems to be, that's certainly what I'm gathering this morning from talking to different people within the community, is it's something that is touching people all through, because 400 people, that is a small community. So yeah. Whether it was somebody directly who you were related to, or, you know, a friend or somebody who you just knew to say hello to, it seems like everybody has been touched by this in some way or another.
That is absolutely the case. And, of course, don't forget that Leona and her family come from Remelton. So Remelton is also, a wonderful little town, and it'll be very, very hard for that community as well.
Jeremy, our deepest sympathies to everybody at the Letterkenny Rugby Club this morning, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk to us about Leona.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.